part of that. The third section of A Good Hour with God is confession. That's just saying the same thing about your sin that God says about it, agreeing with God and asking Him to shine a light on the motives of your heart. I have a whole couple of pages I just go over to make sure I'm not missing anything. I don't want to be introspective. On the other hand, I don't want to get bound with anything. And you know, though, when you're praising the Lord and you feel very secure in Him, it's not hard to be honest with Him. And then as you go through the prayer time, praying for others, that'll diffuse bitterness. In fact, on your prayer list ought to be the people you have the hardest time with. And I'm telling you, intercession for the people you have the hardest time with is the hardest part of your prayer time. But if you're going to have a legitimate prayer time and see God work, you've got to do that. And you know what God will do? He'll change your heart. You go into it frustrated with that person, you come out of it loving them. And so you get free, is what I'm trying to say. And so your relationship with Jesus Christ, when you realize who He is, what He's done, how great He is, what His attributes are, it's not hard to be honest then. It doesn't mean we beat ourselves down. By the way, beating yourself down in introspection is pride. That's self-focus. Anytime you are, oh, woe is me, pouting, you can do that and think you're being humble. You know, I'm such a bad person. I can't get anything done. You know, I'm not good at doing this. Folks, that's not humility. That's a wrong view of who you are and what God can do in you. So honesty is, yes, I've got these issues, Lord, but I believe you're going to enable me, and I'm going to take the steps to allow you to work. And so we've really got to let the Lord work. Now, humility does not have, then, the propensity for dishonesty. Pride causes you to be dishonest. I don't want to be thought of ill, so I'm not going to be totally honest about this. And so when you're asked something, you don't give the full answer. You skirt around the issue. Even when someone's trying to work with you because they feel there's tension in your relationship and you say, no, there's nothing wrong, that's pride, if there is something wrong. If your husband tries to talk to you, that's what you need to realize, that this is my own self-focus. It's very subtle. And so dishonesty and pride go together, but not humility. And then putting others down. We all know Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. And, you know, you'll never be condescending if you realize who you are is all by the grace of God and you're reveling in your relationship with Him. You're honest with Him. We're all in the same boat. You know, we're not trying to be better than somebody else and put somebody else down. I'm telling you, if you ever put somebody else down in front of somebody else and it's not for the right motive, you ought to get yourself alone fast and say, whoa, I am in trouble. My motives are wrong. God, free me from this pride. I cannot do that. Never, never, never should we ever be condescending to anyone else. So humility won't do that, but pride does. Pride causes fear to come in when we should do something like witness or deal with a problem. I try to communicate through an issue. We're afraid to because we're worried about what somebody's going to think of us. Think about how much God has wanted us all to do in using our tongue for His glory, both in witnessing, discipleship, and in correcting issues and communicating through, and we haven't done it because we're worried about what somebody's going to think of us. I'm telling you, much has been short-circuited because of that. So it cripples the ability to love. It shuts up the grace of God. As C.H. Spurgeon said, pride is like the flies of Egypt, and all Pharaoh's soldiers could not keep them out. And I am sure all the strong resolutions and devout aspirations we may have cannot keep pride out unless the Lord God Almighty sends a strong wind of the Holy Spirit to sweep it away. So that's where you just got to let God work in your heart. So I'm coming at it from different angles, because isn't this matter of pride subtle? You can actually think you're humble and you're very proud about that. You know, it's just amazing how it's just part of our fallen nature. So what's the key then to dealing with humility, to grace, I'll get it right, to pride? I've already given away what I'm going to say. The key is, of course, the grace of God to enable you to think right and act right and to be humble. Most of you know this. You can turn to these two different passages if you'd like. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and so forth. Now, God is ready to give grace. And you've heard me define it in here many times. Grace, the root of that word is gift. It is God's free gift of His divine involvement in our life to enable us to do what we cannot do. No one in here could have saved themselves. You are saved by what? Grace. That not of yourselves. It is a gift, there it is, of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. And the whole Christian life is that of God's miraculous intervention to cause us to think right, act right, give us the power to do right. And so God gives grace to whom? The humble. So this matter of humility versus pride is a big, big deal. And prior to that little statement is God does what to the proud? Resists the proud. Now, ladies, if you feel a little distant from God, there can be several reasons for that. It can just even be an emotional wrong thinking. But many times there are motives of selfishness and pride that are there. And God is causing you to wake up to the fact that you're not having blessing because you are self-centered. You got a wrong reaction. You're wanting to be successful in something. You're very self-aware. You've made wrong decisions materialistically, and you haven't gotten that right. Your motives are suspect, and no grace. But there's grace to get that settled if you'll humble yourself. And it's so interesting, resist the devil then. As you submit yourself to God, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Everything about your relationship with God and spiritual victory really gets back to this matter of humility. Then 1 Peter chapter 5, I think, is so good. Again, very familiar verses. Verse 5 of chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Interesting phrase. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Several things I want you to see here. This matter of pride is so often tied to a self-awareness where we actually think, and I've already just stated it, we think we're down on ourselves and we're frustrated and we'd say, no, I'm not proud, but we are very self-centered in our thought process. And we need to be clothed with humility. Jesus was. Humility is not penance. Humility is not, oh, woe is me. Humility is, I am what I am by the grace of God. I have no good thing within me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Romans chapter 7. And just realizing we're all in the same boat. There's nobody here, from a human standpoint, that's better than anybody else. We all deserved hell, right? And we all still fall short of the glory of God. Would you admit to that? We are all at even ground at the cross, which is a great help. Now, there are some Christians here that are living far better than other Christians here. But it's not their ability and their motive to do well. It is their honesty that they need God and God's grace. They're very humble about it, like the Apostle Paul was, and they revel in glorifying God because what God is doing, it is God, and they don't take credit for it. That was God. You know, it's hard for us as preachers. When God just speaks through you and God really helps somebody, they'll come up, and I appreciate it because it really helps me understand how God works, but, you know, that was God. Anything good out of that message was God. And you've got to, and that happens in our lives. When we do something for someone, God did it. You don't want to be pious and say, well, that was just God. That doesn't work. Just say thank you. Appreciate the encouragement. Just thankful for the Lord leading me. And so just have a very just straightforward perspective on it. But let me go on. In that passage, the matter of submission. You are not humble if you are not submitting yourself to your role that God has given to you. The younger to the elder, that's spiritual. Then you have the matter of husbands and wives. You've got the matter of children to their parents, employees to their employers. That would have been slaves to their masters. Hard to imagine, but that's the way it was. And other kinds of government, citizens to their government. And if we're not submissive, we are not humble. It doesn't matter how much you may know about God versus the person you're supposed to submit to. If you're resisting, then you're showing your self motivation and self-perspective. So be clothed with humility. Be subject to one to another. We're living for one another. And then humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And here's the point that I want to make from this passage. And that is that He may exalt you in due time. If you ever try to make people think better of you from a human motive or a human perspective, that's pride. But it's amazing. People that don't even know it have become great influences. You probably can think of a humble Christian that really was used of God in your life. God exalted them in your heart because it was the Lord in them and they had great influence with you. Listen, God at any time can make your life usable, have leadership, be a blessing, have influence. God's ready to do it. He'll lift you up. But if it's our driving to get it to happen from a wrong motivation, then God will resist us. So that's a very major help when it comes to this matter of understanding that God hates pride. And do you see that if we have pride, then can God exalt us? Can God accomplish His work? Can God give you power and standing with your children when you got pride? Can God make you an influence to your husband spiritually? You're not the leader, but you can be a powerful influence. You can't if there's wrong motivations there. With other people, with friends that you have, people that you're discipling, ministries that you're involved in, God can give you great impact. A lot of times you don't even know it. But you're just walking with God, you're thrilled about it, you're honest, transparent. Wow, what an impact. We're going to really be amazed at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm convinced that big names are not going to be in the front row. There's going to be humble people that nobody knew of in that generation, but wow, were they used of God. Humble, honest, genuine believers that loved the Lord and allowed God to use them. And you can be that same type of person. Now, in Romans 5, we often talk about this. I'm not going to go to the passage, but it speaks about the fact that when you take a step of faith, you inevitably will be tried, and God will use that to give you enduring faith, patience, that will then lead to experience. You begin to see God deliver. God becomes alive to you. That will give you hope or expectant confidence that will cause you to be able to love. It's a wonderful progression. And it's all about God's grace. Now, in the midst of that matter of faith, to be able to keep that progression going, here's what I want you to understand. Humility will cause you to have to believe God. That's faith. Faith will then give you God's power, that free gift called grace. Grace will then enable you to be honest, humble, because you realize everything's been from God, which will allow you to have more faith, which will give you more grace, which will give you more humility, which will give you more faith, which will give you more grace. See how it goes? What happens when pride gets into that wonderful incline up? So if we're humble, he gives us grace. We just read two passages. And he gives us, and that causes us to believe. We know we can't do anything without God. So God gives us grace, which allows us to be more humble, which causes us to trust God, which gives us more grace. And God will just do great things. So as she's saying, what do I know about my God? Well, do you see why he hates pride? It just blocks him from us. It's pride that has caused mankind to be headed to hell. It's pride that keeps people from getting saved. It's pride that keeps Christians from having God's power and letting those that need the gospel hear the gospel. It's pride that breaks up marriages. It's pride that causes children to be hurt. It's pride that causes issues among believers and within churches, and on we can go. God hates it. So what's the solution? Humility. Grace of God, just to be an honest person. Folks, it's not about us. It never will be about us. When you can get freed from trying to prove yourself and be somebody, and you can just get on the train of wanting to just serve the Lord and let him use you, and you want to grow, you want to be a great testimony, but you're willing to be honest about yourself, and your motives are not selfish. Wow, it'll change a marriage, it'll change your children, it'll change a church, it brings revival, it brings the grace of God. So she starts with that. Do you see why? God hates pride. It's the very foundation of our relationship with God through salvation and through sanctification. So let's have a good time. Let me just say this. We've got to be appropriate, obviously, in our table times. Why do we have table times? Table times allow us to be honest about truth, right? And one other thing American Christians don't do is take off their mask. One of the secrets to our RU program is the talk to time, where people get brutally honest. Now, I'm not talking about being honest where areas you shouldn't be. Please understand. But very few times do we really take the mask off. We're far more concerned about what people think about us than we really want to admit. And that's why it's good sometimes just to have good discussions about these things, appropriately Spirit-led. But it's good to walk away from a time like this and say, you know, I haven't tried to impress anybody, but I've tried to glorify God, and I feel free in my heart. That's a good thing. And it'll help you in all of your other relationships. So, all right, you can jump into your discussion there.